That's my
Love
reaction. You know?
That's most people's reaction.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So, you're not the only one.
All right, we're live in the Blanc Talkosphere here. All right, you ready to go?
Yep, all set.
Show's going to be about 10 minutes, and then we're going to be done with nothing going on.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. And I guess judging by the amount of content, B, we'll be here till about 7:15 or 6:15 or so, because there was nothing going on this weekend, man. What was going on with that, man? Nothing. This is like the COVID days or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
You watch WrestleMania?
We did. My son watched it. My son wanted to watch it, so we ended up watching that. Yeah, we ended up watching that.
Did Steve Austin look good?
No. I mean, it was the kind of match I think he needed to have, because it was one of those things where he can't, like, really work in the ring anymore because he's slow. You could tell he was a lot slower. It's funny watching these guys come out, you know, after they, you know, and watching them against the newer wrestlers and how much slower they really are, you know. But they, you know, they brawled outside the ring. It was like a brawling type of match. So, I mean, he looked good for what he did. He didn't look bad for what he did, you know.
Really?
Yeah. But Kevin Owens, I think, made him look pretty good, you know. And they had the right kind of match for him. That was because he's not going to be in, like, a wrestling type of technical wrestling match or whatever. He can't do anything like that anymore, you know. So there's only so much
he can really do.
Yeah, oh, for sure, you know. And I think he's probably got a ton of injuries, I would think, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, after doing it that long, right? Got to have a bunch of injuries.
His neck can't even move his neck.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good, man. Tell you what, that stuff got to take a toll on you, man, because those rings, all that stuff just falling is hard, you know?
Just taking bumps.
Fall is hard, yeah.
He still was telling me he was taking bumps?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he took a few of them. What do you think, a suplex on the concrete, I think it was?
That's what someone told me.
Yeah, or up on the stage or wherever it was. Yeah, I mean, he took some shots, man.
Took some shots.
Yeah. Punch Smollett said Cody Rhodes was the best part of that that show last night. Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. That was pretty cool. So, I think a lot of people were expecting him to show up, but then there was other rumors saying other people were going to show up, but I'm glad it was him. So, anywho, back to boxing, man. You guys got any questions? 323-870-3857. Tonight, we're going to talk about Devin Haney getting the biggest fight of his career so far. He's going to face George Kambosos, and we'll have all the details for you. We'll also talk about the slap heard around the world. And I know, B, you talked about that earlier this week, and we'll go over it. And first, we're going to get started with, I would say the fights this weekend, but there were none. No fights this weekend, so let's just go to the upcoming.
What about Savannah Marshall? Come on!
Oh, come on. Does that really count? So who does she even fight? Who does she even fight?
It wasn't even televised.
That's terrible.
All you had to do was go. It was all over Twitter. She was trending on Twitter, Savannah Marshall.
She was trending on your Twitter timeline. Nobody else's.
Come on.
Big difference, son. Big difference.
Your misogyny knows no limits.
Wide open.
Knows no limits.
No limits. No limits. I like that. No limits. Eric, no limits. It's my new nickname now. No limits. All right. What about this? What about these two broads fight? Talk about this cat fight for a minute here. We got Savannah Marshall, Femke Hermans. All right. And full disclosure here, I did see this knockout. This beautiful fight here went about three rounds against an overmatched opponent. Savannah Marshall went in there and knocked her out in three rounds. Yeah, I get it. What do you make of that? I mean, listen, not for nothing, Clarissa Shields is going to wipe the floor with her. It won't be close. That fight won't even be close. Did you see? Why does she carry her hands way down here? What is she doing?
She's trying to bait her opponent in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to work well. Trust me. She ain't getting past Clarissa Shields, and I don't even know if I'll watch that fight. But either way.
You better watch that.
Either way, that fight doesn't do a thing for me, man.
She's 5'11 and a half, this girl, right? She's like, what's her name? Christina Hammer, but with way more power.
She's nothing like Christina Hammer, let me tell you that.
I like Christina
Hammer. I've seen Christina Hammer, and Savannah Marshall is no Christina Hammer.
You think Christina Hammer is a better fighter than Savannah Marshall?
I don't know about any of that. No, I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, hey, listen, man, I've seen Christina Please. Hammer and I've seen Savannah Marshall. Trust me, I'm taking Christina Hammer home. So,
wow.
Yeah, no.
Wow, that's crazy.
Everybody was saying that was a brutal knockout. It was a brutal knockout. I didn't think it was that brutal.
That was a one-hitter quitter.
Again, who was she fighting? Who was this chick she was fighting?
The girl that she fought went the full 10 with Clarissa Shields.
You know what would be an awesome fight? Is Christina Hammer and Ebony Bridges. Wouldn't that be awesome? Like having them both there at the weigh-ins and stuff. And
come on.
What'd I say?
Please.
Oh, man. I didn't even say nothing.
So there's this place in Providence called the Foxy Lady, and we took my friend there. We took my friend there for his bachelor party.
Yeah.
And they.
So what is this
like,
place? This Foxy Lady place. What is it exactly?
You get like lap dances. The girls kind of strip and they do lap dances for you.
It's a strip
right?
club, right?
It's an upscale strip club with a little bit extra benefit.
It's an upscale strip club. Is there such a thing as an upscale strip club? I mean, what is that? What does that mean? It's an upscale
strip club. Nice. If I took you there, you probably wouldn't want to leave. So they have this thing called the foam wrestling. And my buddy, they put my buddy in the foam pit with these two girls, and they were throwing him around like he was a rag doll. It was awesome. My buddy was small. My buddy's a small guy, too.
That's funny, man.
I was waiting for you to say something like Ebony Bridges and Christina Hammer would fight in a match similar to that.
Like mud
that's
or something like that? Like mud wrestling or something?
That's how your misogyny is.
Like a mud wrestling match between those two.
Yeah.
Nice cat fight.
So
what do you think? You think Savannah Marshall is actually going to beat Clarissa Shields? Is that what I'm understanding here?
I don't know. I guess I'd have to favor Clarissa Shields, man. I have to favor her, but
yeah,
I don't think it's a walk in the park.
It's a skill nightmare for Savannah Marshall.
Because Clarissa, one thing I like about Clarissa Shields is she's got really quick feet, and she moves very well in there. She's in and out. She throws quick combinations. She's out and she's out before. She's a very smart fighter, in other words. She doesn't take damage. She's not there to slug it out. But she's strong. She's a strong woman, right? And she can push you back. I don't know. I think it's going to be a great fight, to be honest with you, right? Because the styles. Because Clarissa Shields is that in-and-out type fighter, real fast feet. Savannah Marshall's the type of person that likes to set traps, and she's a counter-puncher. Like she likes to set her opponent up. So I could see this be like this could look like a Manny Pacquiao, one Manuel Marquez type fight. You know, see how those two styles meshed very well together.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll be a long way away from Pacquiao Marquez. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying.
And also too, not for nothing, but 100% of the audience agrees with me. Look at this. I'm with Eric. Women's boxing isn't entertaining. They need more knockouts. 100% of the audience is on my side, Pete.
That's one person.
Yeah, but he represents. Yeah, he's like one of the, you know,
to be honest, the intrigue of this fight is Marshall's power. If she can land one big shot, could it change and turn the fight? But like Ryan Hong says in the chat, I do think that Clarissa Shields' speed is going to be too much for Marshall.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, Marshall is lacking technically, and she's lacking big time. You know, I mean, she carries those hands super low. You know, listen, man, Clarissa Shields throws punches. and she's just a busy fighter. She's not trying to land a big shot. She's just connecting.
She's running those combinations.
And while she's connecting, you're going to be thinking, and you're posting it because you're not going to beat her in a decision. You're hoping you can land one lucky shot. Clarissa Shields is going to run this.
I don't know, man.
That's right.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a good fight. I'll just put it that way.
Look at that. Even Dwayne says 100%. There it is right there.
He's 100% of one person.
Said 100% he agrees. You've seen it. You've seen the comment.
Well,
would I watch a fight between Jada Smith and Margot Robbie? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd watch that. Maybe get Jada, get Margot Robbie a different opponent. But, yeah, I like. I would watch that. I like Margot Robbie. It would be good. It would be very good. All right, let's go to the real fights coming up next week.
What do you mean real fights? I mean, female boxing is real boxing. You got to show this. You got to show them the respect you show the men.
Do you got one of your honey dips watching or something like that? Is that why this sensitive beeb is showing up today? Is that what we're doing here?
Accused of Eric Mann. I'm not shared by here, the staff here at Ringside Reporter, or Beeb Industries.
Just saying. Just saying.
Full disclaimer.
Full disclaimer. All right, so we got to find out when this fight is. I'm talking about the Golovkin fight because that's April 9th. But, okay, coming up April 9th, man, this is next week. ESPN and ESPN Plus. What up? I thought this was the co-main. Who was on the main event on this card? Michaela Mayer versus Jennifer Hahn. 10 rounds for Mayer's IBF and WBO women's title or whatever.
I think that's the main event, actually.
I thought they had somebody else at main event.
I don't think so.
No? All right, well, I'll be watching the undercard then. And then Duke Reagan, the reason I'm watching the undercard is that Duke Reagan is actually on that card. Duke Reagan, Olympic Duke Reagan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know where he's from, right?
He's from Ohio.
You know where, though, right? Cincinnati, son.
Cincinnati, baby.
Cincinnati, baby. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. April 9th from Saitama, Japan, on the zone. Gennady Golovkin versus Ryota Murata, 12 rounds for Golovkin's IBF middleweight title and Murata's WBA super middleweight title. All right, we'll talk about that in a second here. April 9th on the zone from Texas, Ryan Garcia versus Emmanuel Tago, 12 rounds lightweights. Marlon Esparza also on the undercard, defending her title. Gabe Rosado versus Shane Mosley Jr. That's a good one. That's a pretty good fight. I like that a lot. So those will be the fights there. April 9th is packed, son. Erickson Lubin on Showtime, April 9th versus Sebastian Fundora, 12 rounds, junior middleweights. Tony Harrison versus Sergio Garcia, 12 rounds. And let me see if there's any more. There's a couple more fights, but they won't be televised, and they're not interesting anyway. All right. There we go. Let's talk about this Golovkin fight, Bede, because that's the main fight this year, and then we'll talk about the Garcia fight. The main fight this weekend, anyway. And we got to find out when that takes place. Typically, if they do it, it's like 9 a.m. or something like that. It's usually early here, isn't it? Like 7?
I'll show you. The Zone will have it on the schedule. I think it starts early. Let me double-check the schedule here. Give me one second on the Zone thing here.
Yeah.
That's the ninth. Okay.
And I imagine they'll have a replay in prime time, but I'm wondering if it's going to be 7?
No, 5. The card starts at 5:10 a.m. in the morning. So the main event will probably be at like
7 or 8 a.m.
About 8 a.m.-ish.
Now, is that going to be on the 9th?
That's on the 9th. It's listed on the 9th here.
Okay.
It's listed as Saturday at 5:10 a.m.
Okay, Saturday. Okay, so it's listed as Saturday at 5:10 a.m. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, if it starts at 5:10, then Golovkin, and then you could sleep for a couple hours. I would say about 7 or 8 a.m. it should get started. Wow.
So if Robbie wants to watch that card, it's going to start at fucking 2 in the morning, man.
He's probably up. I think he's probably one of those guys that's up all night.
going to have Mrs. Herrick make him a hot cup of cocoa while he's watching this. they'll be making s'mores for this one.
So who do you like in this fight, man? This is a tough one for me. Golovkin's definitely on the slide. I really think that. I think a lot of people think he's still in his prime, but he's not. He's nowhere near. He's 40 years old. Murata's, I think, what, 36 or something like that? 34, 36, somewhere in there. You know, Murata, here's the deal, man. Murata's going to stand in front of him. You know, Murata's not like a cutesy boxer or anything like that. He's going to stand in front of him. And then what, you know, will he be able to take Golovkin's power? I don't know. You know, a couple of things play against Golovkin here. Number one, he's traveling all the way to Japan. I don't think traveling to somebody's spot is new to him. But in Japan, you know, Murata's a big hero over there. He's a big, he's like Inoue over there. He's a huge, huge celebrity. I don't know, man. I you know, this fight is kind of a toss-up for me. I would have to take – I'm going to go off the cuff because I can only go on what I've seen of Golovkin, and he doesn't look good. He hasn't looked good in a long time. And you can say he was sick before this fight or he did, you know, he was having problems before this fight. Listen, the bottom line is this guy has not looked good in a long, long time. I'm gonna edge it to Murata here. I'll take Murata. I think Murata gets a decision. I think it'll be hard to win. It could be hard to win a decision in Japan. I don't know. Depends on where the judges are from, but I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. When you look at Murata, he's kind of a stalker type guy. He keeps his hands up high, and he's an inside fighter, but he's a very pressure aggressive type fighter. Like likes to come forward. He's got a pretty solid hard jab. He's got a really good jab. Doesn't move his head incredibly a lot, but when he's inside, he dips and ducks a little bit. You would say to yourself, this is the style is perfect for Triple G, right? The guy that comes right at you inside.
Yeah.
Triple G likes that. But here's the thing. Dervinchenko was the same type of style, similar to Murata, but with less power. And I thought he beat Triple G up. Then you look at the second Canelo fight. And Canelo fought his fight. He came at him.
Fought
right?
Exactly his fight. Yes, he did.
So these were two occasions where you had guys who fought his type of fight. And obviously Canelo got the decision. And I thought Dervinchenko, and I don't want to speak for you, but I think you believed that Dervinchenko won that fight too as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
So this is another guy who's probably going to, like I said, fight the perfect fight that Golovkin likes. And they're gonna go at it. But this is a guy that's got more in the tank. You could argue at this point is physically stronger, right? So in my opinion, I think I could see Murata grinding out a hard fight. I think Murata's going to stop him, actually. I think this could be the fight, in my opinion, that Triple G hits the wall, right? And I think Murata's just going to wear him down because the one thing I do like about Murata, he's an outstanding body puncher. And after he throws that body shot, he comes right back up with the uppercut. He's a solid fighter. He's not the most defensively gifted guy in the world. Doesn't have those, you know, slick type fast twitch reflexes on the defensive end.
Right.
But he's a very strong, aggressive, you know, he keeps defensively responsible guy. He'll pick shots off and, you know what I mean? He's really good at fighting out of that high guard, you know, and that works for him. And he doesn't just walk in. He has one of those hard type jabs, one of those authoritative type jabs that when he hits you with it, not only a setup punch, but he pushes you back with it. He's a very heavy-handed, strong guy. It's going to be a very, very entertaining fight, but I'm going to go Murata by like 9th round stoppage here.
Yeah, Dwayne, who agrees with me 100% of the time, he says that, you know, the only problem is if Triple G wins, we'll have a pointless third Canelo fight. I got to be honest with you, and maybe that's part of my rationale for picking Murata. I just don't want to see that fight again. I just don't. I mean, it's completely pointless.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I'm picking Murata here because of that as well. I don't, but I also think he can win. I do think he can win this fight.
I think he could definitely win this fight. Like I said, man, Golovkin has not looked good in a long time. Now, I know Romanian Mike in the chat, there's a couple others in the chat saying, you know, blah, blah, blah. But listen, if he wins, we'll give him. I mean, listen, he gets all the props in the world if he wins. He's Triple G, man. I love Triple G. I know it doesn't sound like it, but I do, man. I love watching him fight. But I think he's gone too far now. I think it's time for him to go.
Well,
you know,
you would think the guys that would bother him are the guys that.
What is
Notorious
BC talking about here? Why don't you guys put a bet on Murata there? What do you want me to bet? I don't know if I'd bet a pie bet on this. Would you? This is a close fight. I'm not saying he's going to get blown out, but I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't bet a pie on this.
I would bet on Murata. I'll probably lay a little money on Murata. Why not?
I could win a ton of money if I'm so confident. I'm not that confident. I mean, I think the fight could go either way. I've already said that. Yeah, then we think the fight can go either way. So what does he want us to bet? I saw him something here.
Well, Notorious VC, do you want to bet? What do you want to do here?
I got you right here. He says $20 super chat against Robbie not calling for a month. I'll talk on this fight. So I guess if we win, why would we ban Robert for a month?
I'm not going to ban Robert. This is the fucking highlight of his life.
Why would I put him in the bet? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm not going to be responsible for having him on suicide watch and having that over my head. If he couldn't call in every week, what would he do with himself?
A lot of people taking Triple G in this fight. And you know what? And he's the favorite, so you should. I'm just, like I said, man, and it's fine. But
that's the one thing I don't like about Notorious BC. He's got beta male tendencies. Why are you so emotionally invested? Why do you feel the need to be offended that we're picking against Golovkin?
Oh, stop.
Why would that bother you, man? Jesus Christ.
Full disclosure, and you guys will see me wear it on here, I have a Triple G shirt. I have a Gennady Golovkin shirt. I love Golovkin. Just because you pick against a guy doesn't mean you don't like him. You know? I mean, doesn't mean you don't like him. Just because you say, just because you pick against him, I mean, or you say he's on the slide doesn't mean, you know.
Notorious BC, I'm going to need a screenshot of your betting slip for Golovkin since you're talking so much smack.
Oh, he'll probably bet on Golovkin.
Let me see what the odds are.
I heard they were 6-1 right before post time here.
Let me see. Let me see what these freaking odds are.
Romanian Mike said, what a disrespect to Triple G.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Guys are such man fans, bro.
Ryan Hong says +350. Wow. I thought it was a 6-1.
Oh, Golovkin is a -650. Yeah. Roberto Murata is a +410.
Yeah, wow. That's what I thought. He's 6-1. Yeah.
That's a nice little. Why not throw like 100 or 50 or 100 on Murata? Why not?
Romanian Mike says, Triple G never got stopped or dropped. Beat Canelo twice, has the highest KO ratio in middleweight history and most title defenses. All that is true. All that is true. However, he did not beat Canelo twice. He beat him once. And you can make – listen, I can make a case for that second fight being a draw. I can make a case for Canelo winning that second fight. I cannot make a case for Triple G winning that second fight.
I actually had Golovkin winning both fights, full disclosure. I did think he won.
You're
like
a Golovkin pom-pom waiver, dude. Seriously, you're like a big Golovkin honk, you know? Come on.
I actually bet on him the second fight, too.
Yeah. Why don't you go cover up with your Triple G blanket already? How about that?
There's not much faith in Murata, though, huh? Shit.
No, not much at all. Not much at all, man. I was shocked when I saw the odds. I didn't think they were going to be that far apart. But, you know, hey, listen, man, these guys make their money for a reason. They usually know something we don't, you know. But then again, most of the chat seems to know something we don't, so they're all picking Triple G. But I'm going to stick with my pick. I think Murata gets him. I think Murata wins a decision. I think he wins a hard-fought decision. And honestly, I think that, you know, I wonder if his strategy might be to take those legs away from Golovkin. To me, that would be a good strategy, but man, what do I know?
I think Dervinchenko was a similar – I think he was – I want to say he was like a, maybe a +5 or a +6. So
Romanian Mike says he still got out jabbed and out boxed, talking about Canelo in the second fight.
Yeah, I did think he got out jabbed in that second fight. Golovkin's jab was really good in that second fight.
I had that second fight a draw. Triple G had to come back to get the draw. Canelo, yeah, I think you got to give. I mean, again, I had it a draw, so the judges. So
imagine if they had the second fight a draw. Has there ever been a fight? Has there ever been a situation where a guy fought a guy twice and he had back to back draws? Has that ever happened?
No, I remember Terry Norris when he fought. Who was that guy? Was it? I don't know if it was Santiago.
Santana.
That was it. Where he got disqualified like two or he fought this guy got disqualified two or three times.
The guy kept fucking taking dives on him, bro. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was great.
It was utterly ridiculous, bro.
That was the only one I remember where it was like the same outcome, like the same goofy outcome twice. All right, so let's talk about the one in San Antonio, Texas next week. Ryan Garcia versus Emmanuel Togo. Listen, this is a showcase fight for Ryan Garcia. They're going to put him to go in there, and he's going to get beat, and he's going to get beat sound. What do you look for in this fight, B, from Ryan Garcia?
I'm looking to see if he takes to go lightly and maybe he's a little too aggressive and maybe is sloppy in this fight. I'm looking to see if he throws like one punch at a time, looking for loading up and not really setting the shots up properly. Because a lot of times when you're coming off a long layoff, you tend to have a lot of pent up energy inside you. And then when you go in there, you just kind of go apeshit crazy on a guy. So I'm looking to see if he's actually going to box and set shots up and, you know, break him down, or if he's just going to go wild on him, right? Because again, Togo's not a huge puncher. He's heavily favored to beat Togo. So what's his mentality going into this fight is what I'm curious to see. And then, you know, you change trainers. So sometimes that's a problem trying to transition. This is a guy that's had like three trainers already.
Is it Goosen? Goosen is now training him?
Correct. Yeah, Goosen's training him. So I'm just curious to see how he puts all this together and you know, the whole depression thing and the layoff. And there's just so many.
He's got a lot of obstacles to deal with.
Yeah, it's just so many question marks. And then the pressure of him coming back, and I don't know. He seems like a guy who just has a lot of things swirling around in his head. I mean, you just don't know what the hell he's going to do at any point in time.
You know, they're pumping him up over at Golden Boy to be a franchise type of guy, a Canelo type of guy that brings the money in and stuff like that. And, you know, he's a young kid, man. He's a young guy. And I think that gets lost, and I think that gets lost in the promotions. I think it gets lost with his people and everything like that. He's got a lot of pressure on him, especially if he's dealing with depression on top of all that. That's a lot for him to say, hey, man, I got to overcome all this and then go out there and do this. And it's a tough thing, man. It's a really tough thing. A couple of people in the chat say that Togo is a terrible opponent for Garcia. I agree, but you got to understand what this is. This is like a comeback fight. This is a comeback fight, so it's not – you're not going to get the best out here. He's going to have one or two more of these, and then I think he's going to step up. They're going to have him step up a little bit into a bigger name or something like that. But I look for Ryan Garcia to carry this out four or five rounds. I look for him to dominate the fight. I think if he doesn't dominate the fight, he could – you know, perception is going to be a problem for him in the future. But I look for him to, you know, pitch a shutout here, if not put this guy away. I'm going to be looking to see if he still has the skills, the speed, everything like that. All that stuff, all the intangibles should be there, but what you'd also look for is ring rust. You want to see he's going to be a little bit slower, if he's going to be able to move a little bit. Is he having too much trouble landing shots that he should have been able to land? That's kind of what you're going to be looking for in this fight. Yeah. You know, on that undercard, though, let's talk about that Gabe Rosado fight, man. Shane Mosley and Gabe Rosado. That's a decent fight, right? I mean, that's one of those fights that's like, not a main event quality fight, but I want to watch it. you know, because I think it could be a fun fight.
Yeah.
If Gabe Rosado's put in a position now, like if he loses anything, it's going to be tough for him to come back.
And Gabe's found a nice little niche for himself because even when he loses, he does good enough that people want to see him come back. And he's always finds himself on a network or a platform, and he's always putting himself out there. He's always getting these opportunities, and he makes pretty good money. So people want him to retire, but it's hard because he doesn't really take bad beatings. I mean, the Golovkin fight was probably a tough fight. You could say, wow, that was a rough one for him. But other than that, he's always been in every fight he's fought, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and look, man, he's could be a movie star. I mean, he could retire now and become a movie star. You know, he was in that Creed movie or whatever. But this guy can, you know, once he retires, he can do anything he wants, you know. Why does he stay fighting? I don't know. But so far... Yeah. I mean, he's in there, you know, and like I said, I thought he beat Daniel Jacobs. I thought that, you know, he's got it, you know, he's kind of like Chocolatito in the way that, you know, you've seen him and he's like, he's got to go. And now all of a sudden he's put together this career that's like, what? He should have been gone a while ago, you know, and found a second wind, I guess.
You know what's crazy, too, is he does some broadcast work occasionally for DAZN, and he's actually a really good broadcast. He's a good commentator.
Yeah.
There's some commentary work with him. So, you know, that's another thing I like about what a lot of these networks are doing, particularly DAZN. They're bringing a lot of fighters. I love the fact that they bring fighters in to do commentary work, give them a life outside of boxing, give them a job, something to do. I think that's so cool. And shout out to PBC because they were kind of like the first to do it. Mm-hmm. But DAZN does it a lot now too. And I think –
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think Jessica McCaskill does a phenomenal job, too. Yeah. Come on.
I didn't say a word. I was going to start talking. And
Shanice Estrada, she's another great commentator. I mean, come on.
Who is she? What does she do?
She's a world champion, man.
Who?
Shanice Estrada. She's a female flyweight champion.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Come on, she's one of the best female fighters in the world right now.
All right, man.
This is horrible. The views and opinions of Eric Lauder are not shared by the staff here at Ringside Reporter or Beeb Industries. It's horrible, man.
Terrible. Talk Trends thinks that I saw that he posted early. He thinks that Garcia is going to lose. He thinks that Togo is going to win a decision here. Hey.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
Okay. Interesting.
Upsets can happen, man. Listen, man. Yeah, upset will happen. You know what I would like to see? What I was saying is that I would like to see him take, like, a guy, like, who used to box and no longer boxes or whatever, but wasn't a prime-time kind of guy. You know? Like, because I bet those guys have a lot of knowledge and really can sometimes break it down better than the bigger, you know, the bigger stars of the sport, you know? But I don't know. Joe Ramos was asking, did I watch WrestleMania? I did. I liked the Cody Rhodes segment. The last segment was pretty good. Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey was really good. So there you go.
Ronda Rousey did good?
Yeah, she lost. I mean, but they had Charlotte keep the belt or whatever. But it was good. It was a good match.
Is she going to come back now, or she just did like a one and done?
I think she signed a new contract with him. I would imagine she did because she's been wrestling up until then.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
funny how they get everyone over there, man. Vince does great job.
You know, did really good. Logan Paul was there last night, and he did really good too. I mean, he looked. You know, there was a couple spots like he botched a little bit, but overall, man, for being in there with them. But you know, again, those guys have been doing this so long, they can make anybody in that ring look good. I think I really believe that, man.
The leapfrog he did looked awesome, and then he did the split.
Yeah.
Did the crowd like him?
I think so. I think they were definitely into it. They were the heels, you know, but they were definitely into it. They were definitely
who was
into
his tag
it.
Team partner?
The Miz.
Oh, okay.
The Miz, and he's like a big time heel too. So
did they lose or they win?
They won, and then the Miz turned on Logan Paul, which was really good too. He put him in the
finisher. Why did the Miz turn on Logan Paul?
Nobody knows. You know, it's one of those things. You know how it goes. Nobody knows. all of a sudden you're friends with him and then you get hit by a chair, you know? Like,
I bet you Logan Paul gets his check this time.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I always thought about this. Like, if life mimicked pro wrestling, like you were just in the office and, you know, you just go up to somebody and just start talking trash to them. Next thing you know, you're getting hit in the head by the chair or something like that, you know? Like, could you imagine, like, going in there and having that whole, you know? I don't know.
That's crazy.
It's nuts, man.
Hilarious.
There's another big one this weekend, too. April 9th on Showtime, Erickson Lubin versus Sebastian Fundora. This is a really fun fight, man. Erickson Lubin lost to Charlo. He's Sebastian Fundora, tall, rangy guy that – he's 8 foot tall and he's a junior middleweight or something like that. I mean, he's huge. This is a good fight, man. I like this fight a lot. Erickson Lubin is very technical. He's got power. So does Fundora. Just him being naturally tall is going to give him some power, you know. So who do you like here? I like Sebastian in this fight, but I think this is a 50-50 fight to me.
It's a tough one. I'm gonna lean towards Sebastian, though, because I think he's a bigger, stronger guy. I think he's a good puncher.
He's a big guy.
I think the size is gonna present problems. Yeah.
Okay. So, how good would Sebastian Fundora be if he had Manny Stewart as his trainer?
Oh, he'd be the best.
You think so?
Manny Stewart works really good with tall fighters.
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw him. I was like, whenever I see a tall fighter like that, because he has a tendency to fight a little bit more on the inside than he should. You know,
sure.
With a tall guy like that, I mean, he should win every fight with no problem.
He has a lot of Paul Williams tendencies.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
Paul
he does.
Williams?
Yeah.
He reminds me of Paul Williams a little bit.
Yeah, he's in a wheelchair now, man.
I know. It's,
what's the motorcycle accident or something like that he had?
Yeah, it breaks my heart, man.
And you know what? That guy is happy-go-lucky as you'd ever see, man. I mean, just a wonderful guy, man.
He's a great person.
Yeah. You know how miserable I'd be if I was in that position? I'm miserable now.
I know. I don't even want to think of it now.
It's insane. Centurion wants to know our opinion on the Will Smith slap. We'll get to that in a little bit here. Let's see here. And that's the fights for next weekend. A lot of fights. This weekend was
–
yeah, this weekend was a little
Nothing this weekend.
Yeah, zero this weekend.
Too much next weekend. Like, you're going to have to go crazy trying to keep up with all these fights.
It's insane. All right, let's go to Robert here. He's on the line.
Hello,
Robert.
Guys. How are you?
What's the word?
First of all, Notorious VC, you always type on your computer. I'd like to hear you call in and express your opinion on these fights. Number one, if you've been listening to these shows long enough, you know I've always supported Triple G. But Father Time is undefeated, and he's going to be 40 years old on April the 8th. He fights on April the 9th. There's no way that Triple G is going to win a decision in Japan. Because Murata is a superstar over there. The only way Triple G can win that fight is if he knocks him out. And I don't know what the chances are of him doing that. I'm picking Murata to win this fight for the same reason that Joe and Eric are. I do not want to see a Canelo-Triple G third fight. Now, I wonder, with this new deal that Canelo signed with Matchroom, if Triple G loses, does that September date automatically go to somebody else, or is he obligated, no matter what happens with Triple G, to give him that fight in September? Because, frankly, I don't want to
see
that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't privy to that meeting, so I have no idea. Beebe, were you privy to that meeting?
I would assume if he loses, the fight's not going to happen.
No, because it's not worth anything.
Thank God.
I don't think he can. You know, it's crazy you say that, Robbie, because remember when Roy Jones was going to fight Bernard Hopkins second time?
Yeah.
And he got knocked out by Danny Green in the interim.
Yep.
They both had interim fights before they were going to fight each other. And then Bernard Hopkins still fought him.
Yeah.
Roy Jones was crazy.
That's what I'm afraid of here. I don't know how that contract is written. since it's a two-fight deal, and he's supposed to get $85 million, and both fights are supposed to be on pay-per-view. If Triple G loses, which, you know, frankly, I think he's going to do, but is he obligated to give him that fight? I mean, I would like to see that fight in September.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that fight in September to go to somebody like David Benavidez, for example. You know, I mean, come on. I have always been a Golovkin supporter, but frankly, I don't want to see them fight a third time. So I hope Murata messes up everybody's plans, to be honest.
Do you think Triple G belongs in the Hall of Fame, Robert?
Yes, I do. I do.
Where?
Because,
you said before that you didn't think he belonged in the Hall of Fame.
No, because of the what, 23 or 24 successful title defenses. You know, I think that automatically gets him in the Hall of Fame.
Small like that. Yeah, that gets him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, son.
Yeah. But no, I because of the stipulations with this fight, I don't want to see him win it, because I don't want to be sitting here on Mexican Independence Day weekend and watching Canelo tear him apart, because that's exactly what's going to happen if they fight a third time. Canelo has improved, and Triple G has gotten too old, and if they fight again, it's going to be a no contest.
You're giving him no shot.
Wow.
No.
I don't give him any shot to beat Canelo. I'll tell you that.
No, because I'm not giving him a shot to beat Canelo, Joe, because frankly, he's been out of the ring more than he's been in it. And you got to give
Robbie,
Canelo Alvarez. You've got
to
give Canelo Alvarez credit.
All
right.
I hate to give you stick, but I got to do this because the producers are pulling up footage of you saying that Triple G doesn't belong on the Hall of Fame. Let's be fair about this. Are you changing your stance on that?
Yeah, because the more I thought about it and the number of title defenses that he actually succeeded in, that he does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. But I believe that this should be his last fight.
Now, Eric didn't threaten you or anything behind the scenes that to coerce you to say that. This is your own opinion now, right?
No, and look, nobody's going to threaten me, but I've always had to defend Gennady.
Well, Eric's a bully. He's always been.
I've always had to defend Gennady Golovkin because of people like Fight Doctor.
No, you don't have to defend Eric. He's a bully.
Because a lot of people like Fight Doctor and others literally can't stand him. But look, it's time. Father Time is undefeated. It's time for him to go, and I hope Murata does everybody a favor.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you consider yourself a fair-weathered fan now? Because he had a couple of shaky performances, you don't even want to be a fan of his anymore?
No, I didn't want to be a fan, Joe. But I'm a realist.
You're rooting against him now.
I've watched boxing for over 50 years. I know what I see. He's done.
All right, you don't have to stop bragging about that now. Come on, don't ask him for your resume. Well, let me ask you a quick question. Who's your favorite football team? This week, what's your favorite football team?
I've had the same football team for over 50 years. I'm a diehard Raiders fan, okay?
He likes the Bengals. He's just messing with you. He's got to say that because he's out in California.
Raiders. Come on, Raiders. You know?
What'd you think of that Will Smith slap?
Yeah, did you see that?
I thought that was pathetic on both parts. Chris Rock shouldn't have said it.
What would you do?
We joke with you all every week, man.
You know what? It's a good thing we're not close, man. Robbie will slap you.
Robbie,
no.
Let me ask you a question.
Hey, I don't believe in slapping. I believe in using my fist, man.
Wow. He said he caved the side of your face in, son.
So, Robert.
Wow.
If Will Smith slapped you, you would just counter him with an overhand right. You wouldn't even slap back. You'd punch him,
He
right?
pulled out Canelo
that's,
on him.
That's correct. I'd lay him out. Lay him out.
Whoa. What do you think of Jada Smith banging 23-year-olds, right, and telling Chris and telling Will Smith about it?
I don't get me started. Don't get me started on their kind of relationship. I do not approve.
Oh, that's cool.
Jesus Christ, that's horrible, man.
I do not approve of that kind of relationship.
That's so crazy.
All right, Robert, we're going to get running, man. I'm going to keep you on hold here.
All right.
And then we might go back to you here. Team Batman said Robbie would definitely put that dude in the figure four lock.
he'd be sitting there shit in his pants.
I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. Little slip of the tongue. Never happen again, I promise.
Oh, my goodness. So let's talk about it just for a second here. I thought of like an interesting premise here. Would you, if the third fight with Canelo does happen, say he wins this fight this weekend, can you imagine at 40-some-odd years old, I guess he's going to be 40 or he is 40. I know he's 40 now, but I don't know if he'll turn 41 this year. He's already had a birthday. That I don't know. But can you imagine him being 40 years old and somehow pulling off, would that, how big of an upset would that be if he beats Canelo in September?
That'd be crazy.
I mean, that's a huge upset, right?
That would be crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy.
And I'm going to make another prediction here. If Triple G, like, wins a split decision or he doesn't look good in this fight and gets a gift or something like that, I don't think that third fight happens.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think that third fight happens. Because, again, you got to look at the finances of it. It's going to be worth substantially less if he loses, so they're not going to have it. But yeah. If he wins, but he looks like garbage and looks washed.
What I'm being told is this. There's a lot of people in Mexico that want to see Canelo knock out Golovkin.
A lot of people do, man. That's what Chikal was saying, man.
They just want to see that fight.
Yeah. I don't get that. But, I mean, whatever, you know.
Crazy, isn't it?
I don't get it, man, but is what it is. But on a scale of upsets, where would you rank that? That's a pretty big one, huh?
It's a big one, yeah.
I don't think it's Tyson Douglas upset, but it's a big one.
What are the odds? Let me see if I can find some early odds on Canelo versus Golovkin.
That would be a big one, man.
Okay. I'm curious to see this. Golovkin. I wonder if there's even odds for Golovkin.
Golovkin Canelo 3.
Golovkin Canelo 3 odds. See if they have early odds for that.
That's right. Okay, so the
Alvarez is a minus 350 and Golovkin's a plus 260.
Wow, that's close.
That's fucking close, man. Shit.
Really? I'd lay the rent check down on Alvarez, son.
Wow.
I might just lay the rent check down on Alvarez so I can make some money, early money, cash money. Money, saying. That's how we do it around here in Cincy. All right. Let's talk about the news and rumors here. Inoue versus Donaire 2, the rematch. Naoya Inoue, Nonito Donaire set for June 7th in Japan. Bebe. I thought that first fight was a wash. I thought that he's going to take Donaire to school. I thought he's going to wipe him out because nobody was even laying a glove on him at that time, on Inoue at the time, and that was Inoue's most competitive fight of his career still to this day. That's a good, good fight. I cannot wait for that fight.
Yeah, I don't think that this fight's going to be as competitive as that first fight. I think that Inoue did some good work towards the end of that fight, and I think he was starting to figure out Donaire. And I, you know, he had a fractured orbital bone in that fight, and I think that played a part in it.
Yeah.
His, you know,
him having some shaky moments.
That was in the second round, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That happened early.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a fight where I think Inoue really shines, and he's going to have, like, a big knockout in this fight. Like, this second fight is going to go, like, how we thought the first fight should have gone.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In my opinion. No, and I love Nonito Donaire, man.
I do, too.
He's the nicest guy in the world, man. He's a guy you root for.
Yeah.
But this is going to be that fight that, you know, the train stops here, in other words. You know, he's been on a little run right now, but it's going to be the last stop on the train.
You know, he's another one who kind of resurrected himself after losing to Rigondeaux, you know. And everybody just counted him out because that was such a one-sided defeat. You know, they were like, okay, this guy's a one-trick pony and this and that. And now, I mean, he's completely reinvented himself. And, yeah, there you go. Discussions are underway for Jaime Munguia versus Daniel Jacobs. Golden Boy announced these two are in talks to fight. I'm not super excited about this fight. I'd rather see Munguia and Charlo, but there's still a step up for Munguia, no question about it. Jacobs is definitely on the dark side here of his career. Munguia's on the upswing here, so this is a good test for Munguia, because Daniel Jacobs is not a pushover. You know, he doesn't have a lot left in the tank, but he's still got the tank. You know what I mean? He could still fight a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same speed, like, kind of catch weight. I don't know. Does the fight really make sense, though? I mean,
this fight doesn't make sense at all.
Like, I don't know. I'd rather see him fight a middleweight contender, you know?
I would, too. That's why I said, I mean, I'm not super excited about the fight. It's a good fight. I mean, I'll watch it. These are two definitely skilled guys in there. But, yeah, it makes zero sense from,
this was a fight,
you know, trying to build this guy's standpoint.
This was news that Kapinger reported, so we don't know how accurate it is, but we'll see.
What are you talking about? Kapinger reported it, son.
Dan Raphael came out. You know what he said? He said that he said something that Kapinger was jumping the gun out at something on this one. He was like calling him out on this one. Dan Raphael always calls out Kapinger.
Where does Dan Raphael work now?
Oh,
he's unemployed. That's right. Is he used to work at ESPN? Who works at ESPN now? What's that dude's name, B? The guy that works at ESPN?
Mike Kapinger.
Kapinger, yes. Kapinger, Mike Kapinger.
He's now
the guy that works at ESPN. If I remember correctly, he fired Dan Raphael. Had him clean out his desk, son. All the crackers, everything, all the papers, all of it, boxed up and gone. I heard, security marched him out the front door. That's what I heard.
Never, come on.
I'm saying what I heard.
Cut it up. Did he even have an office?
No.
Did he even have an office? I mean,
he was in the basement. He's Dan Raphael. Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know. That's what I heard, though. Those rumors I heard.
That's hilarious.
Dwayne says, wasn't Munguia even the mandatory for Andre? I heard that somewhere. No. It was Halakuli. Was it? I can't even remember that guy's name, but it's the guy from Europe, the Kazakhstan guy or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to fight. They're going to fight, and then the winner gets that belt because Andre just vacated. Didn't he vacate it? Because he's moving up. He's going to fight somebody else. He's not going to fight either one of those two?
I think he's fighting a mandatory, actually. But
I don't know. I thought he was dropping the belt and moving up.
No, I think he's fighting that mandatory. Let me double check if I remember correctly. He's fighting Zach Parker. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize to you. He's fighting Zach Parker. He did move up. I apologize. He's fighting Zach Parker for the World Boxing Organization Interim World Super Middleweight title. You are correct, sir.
Who is Zach Parker?
He's a guy that's promoted by Frank Warren. Supposed to be pretty good, actually.
Oh, my God.
22-0 with 16 knockouts.
I got to be honest, man. I'm done with Andre. I got to be honest, man. Listen, like, I like him. And I always thought that he could be like the class of that division, but I don't know what the deal is. I mean, like, he will fight. I mean, he's not fighting any name guys, and he's had opportunities to fight name guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, dude, like, he's got all the talent in the world. He really does.
Well, he vacated his title. He vacated his middleweight title because he didn't want to fight his mandatory down there.
Yeah.
So.
I don't get it, man.
It's crazy.
Yep. Even Dwayne heard that. He said security rolled Raphael out the front door. Even Dwayne heard it, man.
That never happened. Come on.
That's what I heard. Apparently he heard it too.
Come on.
Oh, stop.
No one's going to do that to Dan Raphael.
I don't know. Just saying. All right. So Devin Haney and George Kambosos is now official. The fight is set for June 5th in Melbourne, Australia. Beeb, I can't wait. This is
now,
a solid fight.
You've been high on Devin Haney for a while.
I have.
And this is going to be an opportunity for you to say I told you so to a lot of people, because I think Devin Haney is going to win this fight and win this fight big. I just think it's a horrible style matchup for George Kampoulos. And the thing about Devin Haney is he's not going to fight a reckless fight like Teofimo Lopez did. You're going to get the best version of Devin Haney.
The best. This is Floyd Mayweather 2 right here.
Yeah, this is going to be one of these fights where you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think Devin Haney's going to show and prove in this fight.
Devin Haney washes this guy.
I believe so too.
Not
Devin Haney is very, very fast, right? And George Kampos is kind of a guy he lays back. He's a counterpuncher type guy, right? And he fights in spurts, right? But Devin Haney is a guy that throws a lot of volume, right? He's a stick and move type guy. He's got a great jab, right? And he's physically strong. Even when he's hurt, he knows how to hold on and grab and gather himself.
He's a big guy.
Very well conditioned, gets the second win, throws a ton of punches, and he's got a very underrated left hook. I think Devin Haney is a very great fighter, man. He's got a lot of potential, and I think this is going to be his opportunity to shine.
I do too. I mean, I'll take any pie bet on this one. My feeling on Haney, I think he's the best fighter. I think he's one of the best fighters in the world. I've always thought that way. He's certainly the best lightweight right now. Yeah.
Thing is when you're a guy like Kampoulos, you like to set traps, you like to wait, you like to counterpunch. But you got a guy who's going to get off first and he's going to be much quicker than you. It's going to be hard to time this guy coming in. And Devin Haney's not looking for that one perfect punch. He's not loading up. He will touch, keep you occupied, and he'll mix in those hard shots.
Yeah, it's never he's throwing with bad intentions all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he's off speed a lot. You know, if you notice, you watch him, he's always off speed quite a bit. He mixes that in. I mean, his footwork is on point, his speed's on point. He's got power because he's got speed.
Yeah.
Puts you away.
Doesn't stand still either. Once he punches, he's always moving. He's never going to just stay in front of you.
Let me tell you what. You could have three. I'm going to tell you right now. You can have three Australian judges there. This fight's only going one way. Devin Haney, man.
I agree with you.
No question. But I can't wait to see it. And I heard it's going to be on ESPN, too. I heard it's going to be on ESPN. Not pay-per-view or anything like that, which is great, man.
Oh, it's not going to be on pay-per-view. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I read. Now, whether it is or not, that's a different story, but that's what I read.
It's going to be on
ESPN.
Yeah, it's probably going to be on Australian pay-per-view, but not here in the States.
Yeah, I would imagine.
That's good.
And I'll tell you what, I imagine listen, man, Kambosos pulls off another upset. You imagine?
Yeah.
That's a big
Kambosos,
one, too.
Kambosos is acting really weird now. Like, he's kind of like saying, I chose you, you were forced to take this fight. Like, he's acting like, saying like really crazy things.
I hate to say what he's acting
out of character here. He was so humble going into the Teofimo fight, but now all of a sudden he's just, I'm the emperor, I chose you.
Yeah.
You do what I say. It's like, come on, bro. Hey. Sound like a comic book character.
I mean, he's on top. Enjoy the ride while you can, because it's going to come June 6th. It's going to be
And then they got a rematch clause. Then they got a rematch. See, I don't like the fact that you have a rematch clause, because what if the fight is so one-sided that we don't want to see a rematch?
You don't have to have it. I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to exercise that rematch clause. You know what I mean? And if it's that bad of a fight, nobody's going to want to see that. And, you know. So they'll talk him out of it or whatever. I mean, it's not, you know. I mean, how often, like, rematch clauses, I mean, you know, again, man, we've seen those where he has rematch and he gets knocked out in one round and then nobody's going to watch that rematch, you know.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, man, Kambosos, Devin Haney, man, I cannot wait for that. In Melbourne, that place is going to be packed. And I think it's in a stadium, too, if I'm not mistaken, but.
Marvel Stadium, it's called.
Yes, Marvel Stadium. God, can you imagine? What is it? And what does it probably hold, about 80,000 or something crazy? It's got to hold
something like that.
Something stupid.
Let's take a look and see how much that holds. I'm curious, Marvel Stadium. Because they're Australians come out. They like their boxing.
Yeah.
They like their boxing.
A hometown kid like Kambosos, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. They're going to pack that, man. It holds 53,359 people.
That place is going to be packed.
But is that for a football game? What is the biggest stadium in Australia? Okay, the Melbourne Cricket Ground is the biggest stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
Cricket's that big over there?
I guess, yeah.
What is it, like baseball or something like that?
I think so, yeah. I think it's their sport, man. I wonder how many seats are actually going to be available, though. Marvel Stadium capacity. I don't know if the capacity for boxing. I wonder if it can hold more than that.
Yeah, Jeff Horn versus Pac was full, so I imagine this will fill up too.
Yeah, I guess they're saying that for boxing, it can hold, it's close to 60,000, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
53,000, 60,000-ish, yeah.
Once Haney wins this fight, okay, let's just say he wins this fight on June 5th. Say he wins this fight. I think at that point, he becomes the money man of the division.
Of course, yeah.
And Haney doesn't have the Floyd personality where he's going to come out and make himself a heel or make himself a good guy, you know, a man of the people, that kind of thing. Haney's just Haney. So he's going to need some help with this, you know what I mean, as far as, you know, getting these big money fights. You know, so I hope that doesn't slow him down. But listen, man, when you're fighting with all the belts, you're the guy now. Everybody's going to want a piece of you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that will definitely bring more people to him, more eyes to him and everything like that. I hope, you know, this guy gets big. Yeah, I hope he does get big time. We need another star, you know. So I hope it's him.
He's making good money, too.
Sure. Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, especially for, you know, for his popularity and stuff, because I don't believe he's that popular. He's not a household name. He's not a guy that anybody knows outside of the sport, you know. Even if you have, like, a solid casual fan, might not even know who this guy is.
He's not crossover, though.
No, for sure, no. Not yet, but maybe. Who knows?
Not just yet.
All right, Beeb. So the world is talking about this. I figure we ought to talk about this, too. And unless you've been living under a rock, last week at the Oscars, Chris Rock told a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith, who has alopecia, by the way, so she has no hair, and she's bald, so she just shaves her head. And said something about, I'll see you in G.I. Jane 2, G.I. Jane referring, of course, to the movie, you know, where Demi Moore shaved her head and, you know. Apparently, Will Smith thought the joke was funny until he looked over at Jada and she rolled her eyes. Will Smith then gets up out of his seat, walks calmly to Chris Rock and slaps him hard. I mean, it looked like a good slap. I mean, you know, walks back to his seat and then says twice with his voice, like, shaking, keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth, you know. And, of course, all that was bleeped and stuff like that, or silenced or whatever. But I'll tell you what, man, when I first saw this, because I read about it, then I pulled it up on YouTube, because I'm not watching the Oscars. I thought, my God, like, is this guy really that soft? that somebody says something like, you're a celebrity in the front row with Chris Rock up on stage. You've never seen this happen before where everybody in the front row gets roasted, like every star imaginable out there up for awards is getting roasted by the comedian up front? You know?
She's got him wrapped so tight.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Right?
He made a statement that growing up, you know, he had that issue with his dad beating his mother, and he felt guilty because he didn't do anything to stop it or whatever. And he said because of that and the way he grew up, he hated to ever disappoint a woman. And he felt as though when a woman was disappointed in him, it meant that she didn't love him, right? So any show of disappointment directed his way from a woman means that woman doesn't love him in his mind. So that would bother him. He said that quote in his book, right? So to me, you know, he's so wrapped up with Jada, right? He's so wrapped up with Jada that whatever she wants to do, he's going to do it because he doesn't want to disappoint her, because he feels as though if she's disappointed, then she doesn't love me anymore. You know what I mean? So he is being so manipulated by her, and he's not really her type. She is with him for status only, and that's it. You know, and I mean, she probably, obviously he seems like he's a great father, whatever. So she probably likes that about him. But she is with him for status only. She's going through arrested development right now. She wants to be 25 again. She wants to bang young guys. She wants to bang 23 and 21 year olds. She likes the bad boys. She likes the Tupacs. May he rest in peace. And she likes these young rapper type guys. Will Smith is like the nice guy, right? He's everything that she doesn't want, doesn't like, you know. And then they're you know, she's sitting there talking to him that show that she had, the red table, and he's asking her why did she sleep with that guy, whatever the rapper's name is, and he's like, oh well, you know,
August just, wasn't he, was it August or something like that?
August something, right?
Yeah,
I just needed to feel happy.
Well, that's what we call grounds for divorce, son.
I'm not making you happy. I mean, like, am I less than? And then she was like saying that she was saying before in interviews that he Will Smith doesn't do it for her sexually or whatever. So what the fuck are you with the guy for that? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this just can't last. I mean, eventually he's going to have to divorce her. So
he's got to. So he
only went up there basically because she wanted him to go up there, right? So no matter what she asks you to do, you're just gonna do it. And then when he did it, she's laughing.
Did
right?
you see that? Yeah, she started laughing at it.
So the reason why she does these things is because she loves the fact that she has this power over him, and it makes her feel good. That this guy, the status of Will Smith, I can control this guy, right? It's intoxicating sometimes for not only women but people, knowing that they can control other people, they have dominance over other people. It's a sick way to go about your life, really.
Right.
It's a narcissistic way to go about your life. It's a very selfish way to go about your life because you're taking pleasure in belittling and manipulating and controlling other people and having dominance over them, right? And meanwhile, he's the man. He's supposed to be the man of the house, right? He's supposed to, like, I'm protecting her. Protecting her from what?
What?
From being called a name? She was in danger? She was in danger by a 5'9", 150-pound man who was 200 fucking yards away from her, right? And cracked a harmless joke. Isn't G.I. Jane like supposed to be like a, that would be a compliment. Like G.I. Jane was a strong woman.
Strong woman. Wasn't she going to the SEALs or something? I don't know what that
is. She was in the Navy SEALs. Yeah, correct. Yeah, whatever. Strong woman.
Right.
That's not a derisive term, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, that was a pretty, you know, I mean, it wasn't, And then how did, you know, again, like, well, they said, well, he didn't know, you know, he didn't know she had alopecia or whatever. That shouldn't have mattered. Who cares? It's a joke.
Well,
you're up there. You know, if you sit in the front row at a comedy club, you're going to get goofed on. Chances are pretty good that you're going to get goofed on by one of the comedians. You know? That's it, man.
Yeah, so it's stupid.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That the fact that she, like, cheated on him and he still stayed with her and made light of it, because I saw that red table thing or whatever you're talking about. He was over there making light of it, you know. You're right. You weren't happy.
And he was always
a smile on his face and everything.
Yeah, but you could see at first he had a look of like disappointment. Like he looked disappointed, man. And then like he started. It was like a nervous type smile. You know what I mean? He grew up a traditional type guy. He was always a conservative guy. And then he's like saying, "Oh well, she convinced me of this to go along with like." Convinced me that this is okay to have this type of lifestyle, whatever. She showed me the way or whatever. It's like, no, she didn't.
No.
She manipulated you.
Did you see, and I, you know, again, because this happened, all this stuff comes back from the past. All this videos get, returned, and you know, you get to watch those and everything like that. So Willow Smith, which is Will Smith's daughter, right, wrote an open letter to Tupac. And I guess Tupac and Jada used to date. I guess
they didn't used to date, but they were very friendly, and
something tells me you know what I mean?
Something could have happened, but I don't know. They say nothing happened sexually, but
yeah, right. Yeah, okay, yeah, but you know, so right, because neither one of them were willing. So anyway, she wrote Willow Smith, his daughter, wrote an open letter. This is when she was like 11 or 12. I don't know how old she is now, so this has been some time.
Like 21, 22 or something.
Yeah, so maybe 10 years ago, whatever. She wrote an open letter to Tupac saying, "Hey, you know, you make my mom so happy. I wish you were here now to make my mom happy. She's just miserable without you, blah, blah, blah." And this letter goes on by an 11-year-old Willow, right? Willow never met Tupac. You know what I mean? Like, she never met Tupac. She doesn't know Tupac from anything.
Well, she probably listened to her mother talk about
That's an odd thing. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
I mean, if your wife is telling your daughter about her ex and about how great he was and this and that, that's a little cause for concern. And then your daughter writes this note?
Well, then
is in shambles, son.
Yeah. Will Smith also said that he was very jealous of Tupac. He wished that Jada liked him the way she liked Tupac. He said that. It's like, what the fuck are you doing with this woman, man? You're Will Smith. You can get anyone you want. You can get anyone you want.
There's got to be something about her. You know what I mean?
Something.
I don't know. But
I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Right?
I can't make sense of it.
No. All I know is his life is going to be in shambles now. Well, did you hear when this happened? I think the craziest part to me is when this happened, the Academy went to him and says, "We need you to leave." And he says, "I'm not going anywhere."
Yeah,
Police were backstage. You know, saying that they could press charges, this and that. Everybody kind of declined that or whatever. But look, when the Academy asks you to leave and you say, "I'm not going," son, we got a problem.
I just don't know what to believe in that situation, because if the police, like, how bad did the Academy really want him to leave? Like,
well, they asked him to leave. Do you really want to cause a scene? You know. After the scene that just went down, do you want to cause another one by escorting this guy
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Maybe they were thinking of the optics of having the cops come over there and escorting him out and how bad that would look on television. Very good point. I never thought of that. That's an excellent point.
I think it was more of a, you know, people watching.
We don't want to make this look like –
worse than it is, yeah.
Yeah, be broadcast on public. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so
I never thought of that.
That's what I'm thinking. Just the optics of it were just bad. And they had to be embarrassed. I mean, somebody slapping another entertainer. I mean, it was great TV, and people are talking about it. And I bet people watch the Oscars next year, you know. But again, that's not the kind of – if they had – they don't want that there. That's not the venue for that.
Chris Rock just did a show here in Boston.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw
that. Over the weekend, yeah. Over the weekend. I heard it was really good.
Yeah. But he didn't talk about the incident. He touched on it and said he was still processing it or whatever. And then,
Yeah.
Crazy, man. It is.
I don't know what to think about that whole fucking thing.
Well, I think he shouldn't have done it. You know, and he was, I guess he left the academy. I guess he resigned from the academy.
But
I don't know what that means, though.
I do know what that means. I researched it. So when you're a member of the academy, like you vote on who should be nominated, and you get a vote on who should win awards and stuff.
Gotcha.
But now that doesn't mean he still can't go to the awards.
Well, that's what they're searching. I guess that's what they're looking into, because they sent out a thing saying that they're gonna look for discipline and everything like that. They were talking that he could get that award taken away. He could get that Oscar taken away.
I don't think that will happen, because they didn't take any of Harvey Weinstein's away. They didn't take any of Roman Polanski's away.
If you didn't take any of Weinstein's away,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
So.
And who was it? I'm trying to think of who it was that had that. Who said that about Will, I guess the Will Smith, I'll come back to it because I lost it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. It'll be interesting to see where this takes him as far as, like, you know, Jim Carrey, that's it. Centurion Son, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey said that, you know, when he went up there to accept his award, because just, 30 minutes later, he wins the best picture or whatever. He wins best actor or whatever it is. So he goes up there to accept his award. And thank you so much, Centurion Son. Jim Carrey said, you know, they all gave him like a standing ovation. They all gave him applause and everything like that. Instead of not, you know, clapping, people walking out, people whatever, that's what they decided to do. All of Hollywood. All of Hollywood also turned their back on Harvey Weinstein, knowing that he was doing all this stuff. But until he had enough momentum to get caught, and then you knew he was going downhill, then all of a sudden people come out of the woodwork, start condemning him. I know he's been doing this for years. What kind of culture is that?
And this is what angers me about Oprah Winfrey.
I hate Oprah Winfrey.
She makes a movie about Michael Jackson after he passes away and just destroys the guy, right? But she's sitting there taking pictures with Harvey Weinstein. Where's the Harvey Weinstein movie, Oprah? Where's that movie?
Wasn't he convicted? Wasn't Harvey Weinstein convicted?
Harvey Weinstein's in jail.
But was he actually convicted, or was he waiting trial?
No, he's in jail.
He was convicted. Okay.
He went to jail, bro.
Not for nothing, Michael Jackson, never convicted.
I'm going to say something very controversial. I honestly don't believe Michael Jackson did anything to those kids. I don't think he did.
Their story over and over. Those two kids, those two that were really, that really had, you know, the case. They changed their stories, is what it is.
Michael Jackson, in my opinion, is just one of the greatest human beings in the world ever. Just he had the purest heart, I think. I really do. I really believe this about Michael Jackson. Obviously, I didn't meet him personally, but
right.
He just seemed to me to be just such a great person. And I think that because he missed out on his childhood, this was just basically arrested development. He was just reliving his childhood with other kids. I don't think anything sexual ever went on with any of those kids, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I just don't believe it.
If it did, Macaulay Culkin and all those guys, none of them came out against him. None of them. All the lawsuits in the past have been dropped or they've been settled. You know? I don't know, man.
For Oprah to do what she did to that family, I lost a lot of respect for her.
Horrible.
I really did.
Horrible.
Really did.
Priceless. Did you see OJ's reaction to the slap?
Yeah.
Did you see? You saw this. OJ said on Twitter, took to Twitter the very next day, and says, let me tell you something. If I was up there and I slapped Chris Rock, they would throw the book at me. I would be in jail right now. He said, I'd never see daylight. You forget about the time you murdered those two people, too? Does that count or what?
I don't understand. This guy just can't stay out of the limelight, man.
This guy's a moron. And once you got off from that trial, just shut up because you got lucky. Just shut up and get out of town. Move to Florida. Don't ever be heard from again. That simple.
Go move to the Bahamas or someplace. Go live on a fucking island, bro.
Go live somewhere where they don't know you. You know what I mean? Somewhere, you know? That to me was just priceless. Priceless.
That's ridiculous.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you next week.